This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up on this pre-blizzard edition, yes, we're bracing for a blizzard here in D.C., according to all the weather people. We'll see. But here is what we're going to talk about today. Is there a double standard as it applies to the mishandling of classified information? Retired General and former CIA Director David Petraeus was charged and convicted for not securing classified information, while former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton runs for president. A member of the House Homeland Security Committee, Congressman Steve Palazzo, joins me for that discussion in just a moment. And is this the definition of going rogue? Former Alaska governor and former vice presidential candidate Sarah Palin has hit the campaign trail for the Donald. We'll talk about that. Also, the granddaughter of famed newspaper tycoon William Randolph Hearst, Victoria Hearst, has been engaged in a cover-up, or at least an attempted cover-up, or should I say cleanup, of Cosmopolitan magazine. She joins me here in studio to tell us why. And speaking of Donald Trump, he went on CNN last night to talk about his biblical reference of 2 Corinthians at Liberty University on Monday, for which he said, "I was responsible." Trust me, I know my books are the Bible. But we'll talk about it nonetheless right here on Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. You can find out more by going to that website. Also, if you are not already receiving my daily update, you can sign up right there. It comes to your inbox each and every day. Keeps you updated on what's happening as it pertains to faith, family, and freedom. Also, by the way, tomorrow, beginning at 8:30 a.m. here at our headquarters in Washington, D.C., we have our Pro-Life Con. This is a great gathering, online gathering of pro-life leaders. We start at 8:30, and we will have Senator Joni Ernst of Iowa. We have the president of the March, Jeannie Mancini. We have Kristen Hawkins with president. She's the president of Students for Life. We have Ryan Bomberger, who is at the Radiance Foundation. Also, House Majority Whip Steve Scalise is here as a part of tomorrow's events, and you can be a part of it as well. Simply go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, at 8:30 in the morning Eastern Time, and you can catch all of it right there on the website. All right, if you're on Twitter, you can keep up with me at TPerkins. Yesterday on this program, we discussed the security side of former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton using a private email server to receive not just classified information. There was over 1,300 classified documents, but there was a sampling of those, and the Inspector General, Security Community Inspector, Intelligence Community Inspector General, found that there were special access program emails. This goes beyond top secret. Now, the question is there a double standard when it comes to the mishandling of classified material? Retired General and former CIA Director David Petraeus was charged and convicted for not securing classified information. In fact, he's in the news this week because now they're trying to take one of his stars away, even in retirement. But here we have Secretary of State Hillary Clinton running for president, and does it look like the Justice Department is moving on her? Joining me to talk about it is a congressman from the neighboring state to Louisiana, Mississippi, our good friend Steve Palazzo. Steven, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, it's great to be on. I hope you're doing well and preparing for that blizzard. And I have to mention, I have a child of one of my office workers is on a bus on their way to D.C. right now for the March for Life.
Oh, wow.
We're keeping him in our prayers, but I hope he stays bundled up.
Yeah, it's going to be challenging weather here in D.C. for the weekend. Stephen, you're a member of the House Homeland Security Committee. You're a Persian Gulf War veteran. You're familiar with the military. You're both in the Marine Corps and in the National Guard. Are you concerned what you see happening here? Is there a double standard being applied to men and women who serve in the military dealing with classified and sensitive information versus political people like Secretary of State Hillary Clinton?
Obviously, there's a huge double standard taking place right now, Tony. I mean, when you look at what they're trying to do to General Petraeus, even 4.5 years after his retirement, you got to question the motives behind that. You know, he broke the law. He was punished for it. And then, you know, you can even go back to a U.S. Marine, Major Bresler, who was discharged from the Marine Corps for accidentally, not thinking, releasing classified information to save other Marines' lives. He was discharged. We petitioned to have, you know, that reversed by the Secretary of Defense, but it fell on deaf ears. So is Hillary Clinton being held to a different standard? Absolutely. And you know, all her excuses have been horrendous. You know, A, you know, she said it was more convenient to use a private server. You know, she just wanted one device instead of two. You know, to me, that sounds like, you know, basically U.S. code and laws don't apply to Hillary Clinton. Or it just makes her sound a little bit lazy. But, you know, this is a world according to Hillary. You know, she's lived with, I don't think she's ever been held accountable. I think there's another lack of accountability that could be applied to the devil standard narrative as well. Look at this administration. You know, Hillary Clinton worked for Barack Obama. When has there been anybody held accountable? Eric Holder for Fast and Furious? Never. Shinseki for the deaths at the VA scandal? Never. Lois Lerner for the Internal Revenue Service scandal? And now Benghazi and Hillary Clinton? The list goes on. There's a culture of corruption that emanates from the Democratic Party because of their lack of systems of value, their lack of values that permeates through the entire government. And it's infecting our public servants, and it's affecting the federal agents because none of them are being punished, none of them are being held accountable. But a heroic Army general, and David Petraeus, is being punished 4.5 years after the fact, a U.S. Marine, and the list goes on. I mean, I guarantee you there's hundreds of stories of where people have been punished, but yet Hillary Clinton is just allowed to walk freely in the streets.
Congressman Palazzo, you mentioned Fast and Furious, one of the many scandals involving this administration. Just this week, a court ruling that, in fact, that the Attorney General does have to turn over the information. Just it's been a long time, and it's many scandals ago, but just to remind our listeners, this was one of the first scandals involving this administration in which the Attorney General refused to turn over documents to the Congress regarding a program in the sale of guns, which ended up in the hands of bad people in Mexico and along the border. And now the court ruling this week that, in fact, the Attorney General does have to send this information, release this information. In fact, they have until, the first week in February. But this is one in which Congress held the former Attorney General in contempt of Congress, a very rare move, simply because he would not provide the information required in their oversight capacity.
And arrogantly, I think they held that contempt of Congress as a badge of honor on their side, again, for a group of individuals at the highest levels of government where they have no systems of values, no moral compass, and they swim in the culture of corruption day in and day out. And just recently, I think a story came out, a news report, where in Chapo's, El Chapo's, that huge drug lord's hideout, they found a 50 caliber machine gun that was a part of the Fast and Furious network. We're never going to know how many weapons that were released on the streets through this administration ended up killing innocent civilians. So policy after policy has been an absolute failure. The double standard is real. It's out there. The American people should be outraged. If this was Sergeant Palazzo or, Sergeant Perkins in the United States Marine Corps, and we were going through this, and God forbid someone may have died in the process, such as our four Americans in Benghazi, and if we were criminally charged or there was a thought that we could be criminally charged, we'd have been stripped of our assets, we'd have been restricted to travel, possibly arrested, detained, and much more worse. But that double standard does exist, and it exists because this president has allowed this culture of corruption to exist ever since he was sworn into office.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins, joined by Congressman Steve Palazzo of Mississippi. He represents the 4th Congressional District. He is a member of the House Homeland Security Committee and a Persian Gulf War veteran. Congressman, one final question for you on this. You've touched on this, how this would impact members of the military if they were to breach protocol involving these sensitive documents. But I have to ask you this. What impact has this had upon the morale of those in the military looking at and seeing and witnessing this double standard?
Well, obviously, it's been a huge impact. When some people are held to a different standard, the actual civilian leaders that are supposed to guide the military aren't punished for their wrongful actions, but yet you sneeze or you look or you say just one inappropriate word now in this highly politically correct military we have. I mean, they're going to be discharged, and you got people who are just they're going to go into the cover your rear mode, try to get their 20 years in and get out. And we're losing tremendous talent daily because people just don't want to be a part of the military. I mean, look, we're still the strongest, we're still the best, we still got the core warriors and people who have that moral compass in the military, but we're losing a lot of talent because people just can't accept the social engineering, the double standards, the lack of accountability, the political correctness. We're basically neutering our military, Tony, and it's a sad thing. You know, there's members of Congress. You know, I'm actually a former member of the Homeland Security Committee. I'm on appropriations now over part of my jurisdiction, overseeing the Department of Justice. But, I hear this. I'm still in the National Guard. Our morale has taken a serious blow, and it's all a result, again, of this commander-in-chief putting a political agenda over our men and women in uniform.
Yeah, that's a great point, Steve. What we see is we have a military in which they're more concerned about using the right pronoun than the proper protocol for national security issues. And that is absolutely the wrong focus for our nation's military. Stephen Palazzo, thank you so much for joining us on this Thursday afternoon.
Tony, always a pleasure. Thank you for your service.
All right, thank you for yours as well, Semper Fi. Congressman Stephen Palazzo of Mississippi represents the 4th Congressional District. Yeah, wow. What do you say? Well, here is one way in which accountability can come into play. All right, you ready? In this particular case, you have a vote because you have someone here who has left a trail of confusion and chaos as it pertains to national security, Benghazi, email server, secret documents, and she's running for the president of the United States. Can you imagine someone in the presidency of the United States that has such disregard for national security that it's all about her personal convenience and protection, not the lives of those who are serving the country? Wow. It's still America, folks. You still have a voice and you still have a vote. Use both of them. Use them wisely, but use them. All right, when we come back, Ben Shapiro joins us to talk about this endorsement that Sarah Palin made of Donald Trump this week. A lot of people talking about it. What does it mean? What does it mean? We're going to talk about it right here on Washington Watch. Don't go away. We're back with more after this break.
The American Marines raising the flag on the island of Iwo Jima. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. That is the Iwo Jima Memorial. We will visit it in Washington, D.C. on our spiritual heritage tour. It's to honor the Marines that have gone before us to defend our country's freedom over the centuries. We're going to see the Iwo Jima Memorial, the Arlington National Cemetery, and much, much more on our tour of Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon in June and September. In addition, we'll have a trip to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. So much of American history on display there. Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation will lead the way for our tour as I host it. So if you want more information, go to the website spiritualheritagetours.com. spiritualheritagetours.com and join us in June or September.
Daddy, where did all these grasshoppers come from?
God made them. He designed each of these little hoppers.
Where did we come from?
God made us too.
But where did God come from?
Our children ask so many questions. Are you prepared to answer? The American Family Association and Focus on the Family present the 21 Toughest Questions Your Kids Will Ask About Christianity with author and speaker Alex McFarland.
The Word of God talks about passing the faith to the next generation, and that's something we're called to do, and we've got to do it well.
The 21 Toughest Questions Your Kids Will Ask About Christianity is a video curriculum complete with leader's guide and participant's workbook. In 6 30-minute sessions, Dr. McFarland helps us better understand our own faith and how to teach it to our children. This curriculum is available now at afastore.net.
And my father, your great-grandfather, fought in World War II.
Really?
He was a gunner on the big ship out in the Pacific Ocean.
Wow.
Your great-grandmother did her part, too.
Was she on a ship?
Oh, no. She stayed back home. She and a lot of her friends worked really hard in a factory because the men had gone off to war.
Ooh.
And they held scrap metal drives to help in the war effort. The folks back home were heroes, too.
Here at the American Family Association, we consider you the heroes back home. As you fulfill your responsibility of caring for your family day to day, your partnership with us is crucial as we fight the enemies of freedom in America. Thank you for your commitment to the American Family Association.
Grandpa, what's a scrap metal drive?
Let's get some cookies, and I'll tell you all about it.
Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us on this Thursday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at TPerkins. All right, Ben Shapiro is going to join us in a bit. He's the editor-at-large of Breitbart News. And we're going to talk about this endorsement of Donald Trump this week by Sarah Palin. So I don't know if he's going to join us. We're having trouble getting connected with him, so he may come a little bit later. I want to go ahead and, since I'm on this topic of Donald Trump. We've talked a little bit about him this week, the endorsement and other things. Monday he made a speech at Liberty University, which happens to be my alma mater. Now, he, in that speech, made reference to a verse of Scripture found in the second book of Corinthians. It is the theme verse for liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Anyway, he was on CNN last night, and that topic came up of his misspeaking of the Scripture, referring to it as 2 Corinthians versus 2 Corinthians. So I want you to listen to this clip, and then we'll talk about it.
Well, I think it's okay. I think it was fine. You know, we've had a number of people, and my mother was from Scotland, and in Europe and in the UK, they say 2 Corinthians, and a number of people have pointed this out, and it was not a big deal. I'm surprised you're even asking the question. It's a very small deal, but a lot of people in different sections of the world say 2, and I've had many, many people say that to me. And my mother, as you know, was from Scotland, and they would have said two. And frankly, Tony Perkins wrote that out for me because Tony thought it would be great. He knew I was going to Liberty, has a great respect for Liberty. And Tony Perkins is a very, very good guy. And he actually wrote out two. He wrote out the number 2 Corinthians, which I could show you very nicely if you'd like.
Okay, so I'm responsible for 2 Corinthians. All right, let me first, a couple things I need to assure you of, folks. Number one, I know my books are the Bible. And if you like, I'll sing you the song that my kids have been taught, all 5 of them. I've gotten a number of phone calls. This has been the rage of the internet, social media today. you know, on the heels of Sarah Palin endorsing Donald Trump. Am I coming out with an endorsement? Does this show that I'm supporting Donald Trump? Now, let me make very clear here. I am an advocate for issues, faith, family, and freedom. I'm the president of the Family Research Council. That's my day job. I just do radio in the afternoons. And our primary purpose is to advance these ideas, religious freedom, the family, the historic, traditional, natural family, and freedom. And so every election cycle, I tell the candidates, all the candidates, if you want to talk, I'll talk. If you want to know more about the issues, you want to know more about the evangelical, social, conservative community, call me. I'm happy to talk. I want to help you communicate a message and understand the issues. And 18 months ago, I made with my team a determination that we were going to make religious liberty a top-tier issue in this presidential campaign because it is under assault, both here in the United States and abroad. And so we have systematically gone about doing that, and I'm thankful to say that, in fact, it is a top-tier issue. That's because we've made it. I've been to events with Mike Huckabee on religious liberty, with Kim Davis. I visited Kim Davis in her jail cell. I joined Ted Cruz in South Carolina on a religious freedom rally. I've spoken to every presidential candidate on the Republican side. I invite the Democrats to call as well. I'll talk with them. I have talked to all the Republicans with the exception of John Kasich from Ohio and Chris Christie of New Jersey. Now, I don't go out and say that because I'm not going to violate confidence of those conversations. But I'm happy to talk with them, and I was having a conversation with Donald Trump, and I've had a number. I've been in other capacities where I've interviewed all these candidates, and he made the reference or mentioned that he was going to be going to Liberty to speak. I said, that's my alma mater. And he said, well, can you give me a couple, talking points? And I did. I gave him the theme verse from 2 Corinthians, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I said, that's a touch point. You need to connect with people because that's something that's obviously at the forefront of liberty. And I gave him the issue of religious liberty. And he talked about both. Now we got the religious liberty a little better. He nailed that one. The scripture reference, not so much so. I'm just glad the theme verse for liberty is not found in the book of Job. But the reality is, I talk to all these candidates. I make no apologies for that. That's why I'm here. I want to help them understand these issues better. I want them to be able to communicate with you. And I want them to understand what motivates evangelical voters. One of these people, one of them is going to be president. And I hope that along the way we influence where they stand on these issues. Now, just, hey, don't worry. An endorsement is not forthcoming. As long as I'm, if at some point I may endorse a candidate. It may come soon, may come later, I don't know. Praying about it, thinking about it. But until then, I will talk with any and all candidates, including Democratic candidates. If Hillary Clinton wants to have a discussion about religious liberty, I will talk with her about it. In fact, she's already mentioned it. She mentioned how what's happening in the Middle East is genocide and how she's distanced herself from this administration on that issue. So, just wanted to, since Donald went out and made that statement, I wanted to provide some context to that. I did not write a sermon for Donald Trump to use at Liberty. I simply gave him a couple of talking points, including the theme verse from 2 Corinthians. All right, folks, don't go away. We come back right after this break, and Ben Shapiro will be with us when we return. So make sure you return right after this break. Don't go away. We're back with more right after this.
making the most of your money. Here's Dan Celia.
Well, we're coming off a day that was an incredibly volatile day, to say the least. We saw the S&P drop significantly, and it's down 13% on the year. Just to remind everybody, that's certainly in correction territory, but a bear market is 20% off the most recent highs. So we still got about an 8% leeway there before we get into a bear market. But nonetheless, the volatility has been incredible. Getting a little bit of a bump primarily on Central Bank of Europe, Mario Draghi, indicating this morning that it looks like they are going to leave the door open for some additional quantitative easing, or easing in general. And the reason why that is good for our markets is because the majority of that money finds its way to the U.S. stock market. So that's a good thing. It's kind of like the Federal Reserve continuing to do some quantitative easing. So that was a little bit of a bump for the markets. Also, this week, we've lost so far about $2.5 trillion of market cap. $2.5 trillion. That's an enormous amount of market cap going out of the markets. The big question is, where is it going? It looks like some of it's going into gold, some of it's going into treasuries, the rest of it's sitting on the sidelines. Japan has officially entered a bear market, and the big news is going to continue to be, not only this week, but probably the weeks to come, will there be any stabilization in the oil sector? Well, we have the lowest rig count here in America since 1990. We'll have to wait and see if anybody else decides to slow production.
Want to hear more financial advice from Dan Celia? Then look for his podcast when you visit the website afr.net.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad you're with us on this Thursday afternoon. Website, TonyPerkins.com. On Twitter, at T. Perkins. All right, continuing down this path, discussing the Donald, a major endorsement this week, as we mentioned, Sarah Palin, the former governor, is known for being a staunch conservative. And although Trump fights the establishment on certain issues, he's not the most conservative in the race. Ted Cruz is. So what is the cause for this endorsement? What's behind it? Joining me now with his analysis on this is New York Times bestselling author and editor-at-large of Breitbart News, Ben Shapiro. Ben, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, thanks so much, and I look forward to your rendition of 2 Samuel.
Now, this is your second time on the show, right?
Yeah, it is. I think this is maybe my second time on the show. Has Donald Trump ever made a mistake? I mean, I'm getting kind of irritated. I mean, I understand now why Donald Trump feels that he never has to seek forgiveness from God, because not only has he never made a mistake, anytime he makes a mistake, it's your fault, Tony. So.
Well, I guess I will live for that for the rest of my life, but so be it. It's only the second time I've made a mistake. All right. Let's talk about this. Is this a mistake in what Sarah Palin has done? That people were a bit surprised by this.
I think that everybody was a little bit surprised, because Sarah Palin, she always had a populist streak, but she was always seen as somebody who was more conservative. I mean, she spent half her speech yesterday, when she endorsed Trump, bashing crony capitalism on the same day that Donald Trump was standing there talking about how he wanted more federal funding for ethanol, which is the definition of crony capitalism. So there were a lot of conservative Tea Partiers who were fans of Sarah Palin who didn't understand why she's backing the less conservative of the two candidates who have a lead in Iowa. Cruz is obviously more conservative. There are a couple of theories out there. One is that Sarah Palin sort of feels for Donald Trump. They have the same enemies. There's kind of an elitist base that doesn't like Donald Trump, doesn't like Sarah Palin. They don't like their speech patterns. They think they're not politically correct, and so she's standing with Trump for that reason. And there's a more cynical take that I think is possible, which is that Sarah Palin is Tea Party queen. I mean, she obviously has a lot of leadership ability and has a lot of backing in the Tea Party. If Ted Cruz becomes the nominee, she becomes a secondary figure in the Tea Party. He becomes the primary figure in the Tea Party. If Trump is the nominee, then obviously that's not the case.
Ben, let me stop you, because I want to ask you about that, because what I have begun to see over the last few years in Sarah Palin is I see her more as a media celebrity as opposed to a political leader.
And I think that's right. And The Tea Party is a grassroots movement. It's not just a political movement. It's not about voting, obviously. So she's made a lot of hay off of the Tea Party, and she was a Tea Partier. But we're seeing the Tea Party start to split. I mean, there have been about 8 different postmortems written about the Tea Party since Palin did this, and I've been encouraging people, just wait till the Tea Party votes before you jump on this. Just because Sarah Palin went for Trump doesn't mean the Tea Party will.
So what happens here? Does this help Donald Trump in Iowa?
Yeah, I mean, it helps Trump in Iowa. It certainly doesn't hurt him. It gives him the shred of credibility that he needs on the conservative charge. Cruz has been hitting him, rightly so, for not being conservative. Now he can trot out Palin, and he can say, well, Sarah Palin's conservative. You're going to tell me that I'm not conservative enough for Sarah Palin? I think that it also undercuts Cruz, because Palin backed Cruz in his Senate race in Texas, and now she's turned around and she's backing Trump. And more than anything else, I think that Palin coming out and endorsing Trump, it gives him a boost. The timing of it is really what's damaging for Cruz. It gives him a boost a couple of weeks before Iowa, and that is effective. I mean, she's considered much more blue-collar than Trump is, more than Cruz is. I mean, she's giving this kind of mono-grizzly blue-collar feel to the Trump campaign at a time when that's exactly who Trump is attempting to reach out to. So it's a big endorsement for him. Does it put him over the top? I don't know. No one knows, obviously, but all that Iowa's going to come down to at this point, it's a dead heat. It's going to come down to momentum in Trump versus grassroots organization in Cruz. And if Trump wins Iowa, he's going to win the nomination. If he wins Iowa, he's going to run away with the nomination. I'm not sure anybody else wins the primary if Trump wins Iowa.
Well, I think you're right. I think it's helpful to him. And I think where I see this coming in, playing in the most, if she can bring the Tea Party folks over, and that's still a big question as to whether or not it's too much of a reach for some of them, that brings in the organization, because the caucuses are a bit different than a primary, and they need to show up. And that's what she could help with.
Yeah, that's right. And I also think that, what's amazing here is that Palin's endorsement helps Trump counteract what is becoming the most damaging charge against him just 12 days before the primary. And that is that the establishment, when forced to choose between Trump and Cruz, is obviously choosing Trump. I mean, this is what people don't get, and I think they need to watch closely. The establishment, of all the people the establishment hates, Ted Cruz is number one. Donald Trump is number two.
Right.
I mean, all the major establishment senators in the last 2 days have said that they hate Ted Cruz and they won't support him. There's a report that just came out from Associated Press that Richard Burr, Republican senator from North Carolina, actually said at a recent event he would back Bernie Sanders over Ted Cruz. That's how much he hates Ted Cruz. And the New York Times, the Washington Post, everybody is now realizing what people like me have been saying for weeks, which is that Ted Cruz is an actual threat to the establishment inside the Republican Party and in the government. Ted Cruz is an ideological conservative who believes in smaller government and who really despises a lot of the establishment leaders on the Republican side.
And not only believes it, but works for it.
Yeah, that's right. And Donald Trump is a guy who really loves Donald Trump a lot. And that means that he's a deal maker. He's somebody who wants to make deals when it's convenient. His enemies are personal enemies. They're not political enemies. He doesn't dislike people or dislike his enemies based on their agenda. If they kick him off personally, then all of a sudden they become enemies. But,
yeah.
I mean, this is a guy who will speak highly of Vladimir Putin if Putin speaks highly of him.
All right, Ben, we're out of time. Thanks so much for joining. As always, appreciate your insights and analysis on the political landscape.
Hey, thanks a lot.
And we'll invite you back for a second time, so... All right.
Perfect. Well, you'll have a second chance at it.
All right, Ben. Great to talk with you. All right, folks. When we come back, we're going to be joined by, someone. Just stick around. You're going to be interested in this.
Earlier this year, you may have seen the headlines about a state agency in Oregon ruling that bakers Aaron and Melissa Klein should be fined $135,000 for refusing to use their creative talents to make a cake for a same-sex wedding. One has to wonder, what does it take to engage the church to stand up against the tide of today's eroding culture? On January 16th, join us for the Free to Believe simulcast conference. Family Research Council's Watchmen on the Wall ministry is partnering with like-minded leaders who know what it means to be salt and light in this generation. This will be an inspiring, practical conference that will give churches the tools they need to impact the culture in their communities and beyond. You will hear from David and Jason Benham, Dr. Ronnie Floyd, and many more speakers. For more information on hosting this simulcast conference at your church, visit freetobelieve.com/conference. That's freetobelieve.com www.ksat.org/conference.
So 10 years ago, Katrina hits the Gulf Coast, and my dad and I thought it'd be cool to go and help somebody and start sharing that passion, that vision that God laid on our hearts. And shortly thereafter, American Family Radio was telling the nation about what God was doing through 8 Days of Hope. And that trip that was meant to be 5, 6, 7, 8 people was 684 people in December of 2005. We rebuilt 84 homes, and we were just so excited about what God was doing. Since then, 1,700 homes have been built, rebuilt across the country. We have taken 17,000 volunteers. Hundreds and hundreds of lives changed forever because they've given their hearts to Jesus, either serving on a missions trip or because they were a homeowner that we were serving during 8 Days of Hope. And now a new ministry, Hope Reigns, is sprung out of this ministry called 8 Days of Hope. Go to our website, 8daysofhope.com.
Our country is in trouble. We're in a moral nosedive.
And recovery won't come from a political party. It'll come from returning our focus to God. You can help by being a part of the Decision America Tour.
In 2016, the Decision America Tour will visit all 50 states. At each stop, Franklin Graham will share the life-changing truth of Jesus Christ and challenge Christians to live out biblical principles at home, in public, and at the ballot box.
And I really believe this next election is going to be one of the most critical elections in the history of our country.
Be bold about your faith in Christ. Sign up for your state's prayer team. You can also get friends together to pray for America, our leaders.
And for the Decision America Tour.
If you do, we'll send you a free prayer journal to encourage you in your prayer life. Go to DecisionAmericaTour.com.
The only hope for this country is the Church of Jesus Christ.
DecisionAmericaTour.com.
Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us on this Thursday afternoon. Tomorrow, March for Life here in Washington, D.C. Folks coming in from all around the country. Of course, it may be a snowy Friday, as they're predicting a blizzard this weekend. However, that's not going to slow down the marchers. And tomorrow morning, beginning at 8:30 Eastern time, you can be a part of it. Even if you can't come to D.C., you can join us online for kind of our virtual march. We have our Pro-Life Con, which we have pro-life leaders, congressional leaders, all coming to be a part of this. We'll start off in the morning at 8:30 Eastern time. Senator Joni Ernst of Iowa will kick us off, and we'll also be presenting our award that we give, our Online Life Award for creativity of using technology and the online community. And this year, it's going to go to David Dalyden, who is the founder of the Center for Medical Progress, which is the one that's created all the headaches for Planned Parenthood. And so I'm going to give him that award here tomorrow, and you can be a part of that online. Beginning at 8:30 Eastern time, just go to TonyPerkins.com, and you can watch it live and be a part of it. Tweet in response. We'll have a tweet fest going on as well, so you can be a part of that. And send it out to your friends, and you talk about it on social media. Again, in the morning, Pro-Life Con beginning at 8:30 Eastern time. Go to TonyPerkins.com. All right, for a long time, Cosmopolitan magazine has been obsessed with sex. Now, Victoria Hearst, who is the granddaughter of famed newspaper tycoon William Randolph Hearst, is trying to change all that. Her family's media company owns the magazine, but as a Christian, she is trying to turn the page on the family's focus when it comes to some of those magazines. And joining me now to highlight her fight is Victoria herself. Victoria, welcome to Washington Watch.
Well, thank you, Tony. It's so nice to have you.
Glad you're here in Washington.
Yeah,
I'm glad you're here. And we'll start with the magazine, but then I want to put it in some context.
Sure.
I see you have the magazine here. I'm not sure how you got into the building with that magazine. but there's a problem with this and young people.
There's a huge problem. Cosmopolitan magazine was first published in 1884 as a family and women's magazine.
Really?
My
family magazine?
Yep. And my grandfather bought
wow.
it around 1906, kept it that way, then added literature and added fashion and added, you know, society. Well, by 1965, the magazine was going downhill. We have a lot of other magazines. But this one was going downhill. And I remember as a child hearing my father and other corporate executives saying, what are we going to do? Do we let it go? Do we keep it? Long story short, the devil produced Helen Gurley Brown, who had written the book Sex and the Single Girl and was on the leading edge of the feminist sexual revolution. And the company went, aha, we're going to save the magazine by hiring Helen. And Helen said, fine, I'll be editor-in-chief, but I get to make this magazine over into my image and likeness. And what she did was take a family magazine, a society magazine, and turn it into a sex rag. She had the first male nude centerfold, which was Burt Reynolds. And then she had, like, the next couple of months had a couple, and then more guys and actors, and then she dropped that. And then it really got worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. So the problem with Cosmopolitan magazine is most people think, well, it's just fashion and beauty and hair and articles, and it's not. It contains within the magazine a section called Love and Lust, and the most graphic sexual material. The only thing that they don't have along with that is the kind of photographs that a Penthouse or a Playboy would have in it, but they come real close. And I call Cosmopolitan the snake in the garden. Because, first of all, it puts young actresses on the cover, singers, actresses, who appeal to the tweens and the teens.
So who's the average reader of that?
The average reader, Cosmopolitan says that its demographic is 18 to 35 or 45. Well, I don't see any 45-year-olds on the cover. I see Demi Lovato. I see Miley Cyrus. It's always young, like I said, young actresses, popular singers who appeal to the youth. To young girls. And it's bubblegum colors. It's, you know, pink and yellows and blues. And the models frequently have very, very revealing clothing. You have article titles on the cover that I don't know, again, how what sort of things I can say on your program.
Well, I mean, I'm looking at it right here.
But,
I mean,
it says sex a lot.
Well,
on
she would obviously be cold if she were here in D.C. right now.
Yeah.
But sex wish list.
They have
Guys
all kinds.
Made easy.
Right. They have every month they have a section called Sex Q&A. Extremely graphic sexual questions. Extremely graphic sexual answers. They always have articles about this kind of sex, that kind of sex. Have sex in public. And then they say, but don't get caught. And their whole thing is to push the Cosmo girl lifestyle, which they call, quote, fun, fearless female, unquote. Well, a lot of that is go meet straight men and have sex with them. Have sex like this. Have sex like that. They have drawings frequently of men and women in sexual positions, describing the position and how fabulous it is. And people don't know. And it sits there right at the rack, at the cashier in stores like Walmart and Target and City Market and all these other things. So my campaign, what God told me to do 3 years ago is get this magazine out of the hands of kids.
All right, Victoria, let me step back and put this into some context for our listeners, because I've actually read about your campaign. I mean, I've watched, occasionally there'll be an article in the paper and I'll read about it. And so here's, I have the microphone here, so I'm going to ask the questions that come to mind when I read those articles. So, well, that's interesting. Victoria Hurst, a part of the family, she is challenging the family. Obviously, that makes for awkward Thanksgiving dinners, you know, when there's that conflict. But what led you, first of all, what led you to the Lord?
I always tell women that there's nothing like a bad man to drive you to Jesus. And, you know, I made the mistake that a lot of women, and especially you young girls who are listening, make, is the world tells you that sex equals love.
Right.
So before I got saved, this was the kind of, you know, timing. If the guy loves you, then you know, you having sex and what have you. You need a man to make you happy. And that's what I was looking for. I was looking for the man to make me happy. And the devil kept bringing me men, and they were not making me happy, Tony. Like really miserable. And I had often said to friends, I'd rather be miserable alone than miserable with someone else. But praise the Lord. Anyway, the devil always overplays his hand, and I got the last one, and he made me so unhappy that I got saved. And I was watching
that, folks, I don't recommend that as a path to Christ. There is an easier way to do it. But, you know.
Well, it's either kill the guy or get saved, Tony. So what are you going to do? Just kidding. I'm kidding. So I got saved. I broke up with the guy and got Jesus, said the sinner's prayer, and went on with the Lord.
How old were you?
Oh, I'm not going to reveal my age.
No, then.
Then, okay, I was 38.
Okay.
So I always tell people I did my almost 40 years in the desert.
Well, it's good
enough.
And
got saved. Praise the Lord.
Because I want to put this in context, because now you've dedicated your life to helping young girls not be exposed to certain things. And so my question now is this, and this goes back to me reading these articles and looking at this and saying, okay, why is she doing that? Is this a part of, number one, A, you are a follower of Jesus Christ, and so there's a sense of right and wrong, a clear sense of right and wrong, but also is it a kind of a sense of obligation to the family because the family has been providing information, news, and been in this, and now they're involved in something that's actually harmful?
I'm telling you the truth. God told me, get it out of the hands of kids. As a family member, I receive all of our magazines. Hearst produces 21 magazines. Cosmo is the only one that's pornographic.
But this is the only magazine you're focused on, correct?
Yes.
There's other magazines.
No,
out
God
there.
Didn't say go deal with the rest of them. He said,
but there's
deal
a sense of responsibility because it comes from your
authority.
Family.
Right. Exactly. And responsibility. And God said, get it out of the hands of kids. I'm not trying to censor the magazine. I'm not trying to put it out of business. What I have said over and over again to the authorities at Hearst, that includes family members on the board and the other president of the company, Stephen Swartz, and others who are on the board, look, I can't stop you from publishing this.
Mm-hmm.
All I'm asking is that you take responsibility for what you are putting out in the public and label the magazine adult material, and they will not do it.
Mm.
The love of money is the root of evil. And this is our number one selling magazine.
Really?
It has international editions. They brag that it is the best-selling, most popular, and they call it Young Women's Magazine. They will hide behind the First Amendment. They won't touch the Kids Can Buy Your Magazine issue because every store that this magazine is in, because it's not labeled, and many times the stores and the corporations that carry this magazine in their stores don't realize. I'm telling you, it has graphic sexual material that if you, Tony, handed that material to a child right now, you would be arrested.
Mm. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along on this Thursday afternoon. Victoria Hearst, my guest. She is the granddaughter of William Randolph Hearst. We're talking about her effort to try to stop the Cosmopolitan magazine from getting in the hands of young girls. Best-selling magazine that they have.
Yes.
So I guess I take it they've not been very responsive to you. And when you look at the profits, they're as you said, the love of money is the root of all evil.
The thing is this. The people at Hearst, I need to say something. I'm not mad at anybody. I am getting Zippo out of this. I am spending my time and my – I don't have a book to sell. I don't have a movie.
Nor a magazine.
Nor a magazine. I'm doing this because God told me to do it. And what the Hearst Corporation authorities do and what they've done all my life is when there is any kind of scandal or any kind of issue, they shut up and hope it goes away. And the thing is, I'm not going away. If I have to do this until Jesus comes, I will not go away. Now,
be in keeping with our theme here of standing.
Praise
the
Lord.
When you've prayed and you've prepared and you've taken your stand, you just keep on standing.
Amen.
Let me ask you, Victoria, anyone else in the family sympathetic and share your concerns about what's happening?
Not that I know of.
So we're not looking at them to change.
No, and there's a lot of us. It is not my job to run around calling every Hearst family member and saying, this is what I'm doing, what do you think? A friend of mine told me a long time ago, never go to your critics for encouragement. You know? I'm focused on this. Now, if family members know I'm around, if they want to call me, if they want to get in touch with me, great. But it's not my job to run around saying, do you think it's okay? Do you think it's okay? Do you think it's okay? My job is to do what God told me. I love my family, but if they're not on board, it's not my problem.
Understood. You have a website where folks can get more information about this.
Yeah, the campaign is called Cosmo Harms Minors. The website is called CosmoHarmsMiners.com.
And what will people find at that website?
They will find graphic examples of what's in the magazine, action items.
Give us a couple of those action items, what you would like people to do. Number one, it's probably on your list, but let me add it if it's not. Parents need to be looking to see what their kids are reading. And if this is may look harmless, but know that it's not if it's in the hands of your teens.
Yeah, the thing is, too many people don't realize what the content of the magazine is. They think it's just fashion makeup, and they see the graphic article titles, and they're kind of like, it's not really that bad. It is really that bad. What you can do is you can talk to the store managers of the stores that carry this magazine, and you're going to have to look in it and show them the pornographic content. It's under the Love and Lust department in the magazine. You can't miss it. And say, look, this is illegal in many states to sell to minors.
And you said Walmart is one of the places it sells it?
Walmart has it. Walmart has put it behind U-shaped blinders. That was because I and a wonderful organization called the National Center on Sexual Exploitation pressured them and nicely and said, look, here's what the magazine contains. Look at the graphic article titles and whatever. They put it behind a U-shaped blinder. The model on the cover many times is still very scantily clad. Walmart has sort of put it down at the bottom of the rack at the cashier's thing, but kids can still walk right by it and get confronted by body parts they don't need to see. So if you really care about what your children are forced to see while you're standing in the checkout line, if you care that this magazine still, any child underage, any kid who can see or read can walk into a Walmart right now, pick up a Cosmopolitan magazine, take it home, and be subjected to incredibly damaging, dangerous sexual content. And as I said before, some of the content is, go find a strange man and have sex with him. They did a thing on Europe one time, running around Europe, and they got these, you know, tell us your stories of having sex in Europe. One girl goes, yeah, meets a guy at a party, doesn't know his name, they never exchange names. They go back to his apartment, they come back. She says, this is the most wonderful experience of my life. Thank God she got back to the party alive.
Wow.
That she didn't get sex trafficked, that she didn't get something nasty. That Cosmo, it's amazing. The woman who is the editor-in-chief, her name is Joanna Coles. You can, if you pick up a Cosmo, you can find the names and the addresses, the web addresses to contact these people. The point is, you've got to go to the retailers and tell them either stop carrying the magazine or stop selling pornographic content like this to children.
Victoria Hurst, thank you for joining us today. And I just want to commend you for this, that as the Lord told you to do something, you've been faithful to do it. And that's what we need. We need to be faithful regardless of what we may be seeing as the outcome. Our call is to be faithful. It's as the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 6, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you've taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.